Lecture 28, Christian Culture in Late Antiquity.
Hello, and welcome yet again to our series of lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This will be lecture number 28, and we'll address ourselves in this lecture to the Christian culture of late antiquity. This is then the fourth of our four lectures on the world of late antiquity. We began with Edward Gibbon's Immoderate Greatness, the political structures of the Roman world. We turned then to his barbarism, one of the external forces in the transformation of the Roman world. And his second external force was superstition. We explained last time that that's what he understood by Christianity. We talked last time about the Christian church, the emergence of the Roman church, the emergence of a basic kit of doctrines, and the emergence of a Catholic, a universal tradition. In this lecture, we're going to turn to three related, but nevertheless somewhat different subjects. We're going to talk first of all about the age of the church fathers, the first great age of Christian intellectual life, or we might put it this way, the period when Christianity moved from seeking intellectual respectability to becoming intellectually dominant. We'll then turn to a certain number of Christians who, in an interesting sort of way, opted out. If the church, the visible public institution in the world that we referred to last time, is one important story of late antiquity, then those who became monks and nuns, those who left the urban, formal, public, structured, institutional world of the Roman Empire are also important and will attract a bit of our attention. And finally, we'll conclude by asking a series of questions that I suppose could be boiled down to this one. So what? That is to say, what impact did Christianity have on the lives, the beliefs, the habits, the attitudes, the struggles of ordinary people? Now, this being the basic subjects to which we'll introduce ourselves in this lecture, with which we'll concern ourselves, let's turn then to the age of the church fathers. The intellectual culture, and indeed the intellectual caliber, of late antique Christianity is inextricably bound up with a group of thinkers whom we call the church fathers, who dominated cultural life in a period we call patristic, from the Latin patres. So the age of the patres is the patristic age. Now, some of you may be asking yourselves why there is no matristic age. Well, there were no church matres, and that's not my fault, and you'll have to take up that problem with others than with me. Now, we talked in an earlier lecture about the fact that already in the second and early third century, there had been Christian writers, the apologists, remember, who had attempted to address questions that were arising even then for the Christian community. How was Christianity different from paganism? How was Christianity different from Judaism? How could one live as a Christian in a pagan world? It's also interesting to note that in the late second and into the third century, Christian ideas were beginning to circulate sufficiently in the Mediterranean world that there were at least a few pagan writers, Porphyry, and a few others, who actually began to address themselves to Christian teachings by way of trying to refute them. Now, you don't refute something that you don't take seriously. So the point is that we have some hint, some faint suggestion, that Christian ideas were already getting some purchase on the public mind in the third century. Well, once Christianity became legal, as we saw in our last lecture, one of the things that happened was that some of the quarrels, some of the controversies, some of the difficulties, some of the complexities implicit in Christian teachings surfaced. They could now come to the surface. For a long time, of course, Christians had been illegal, and they weren't going to draw attention to themselves by battling out in public. Once those problems began to become public, a group of thinkers began addressing themselves to those problems and to much else besides, as we'll see as we go along. It is this period, then, which we label patristic.